WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm super excited because we have a lot to talk about. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
The roof is on fire.
I'm like sitting here and you're like, by the way, she's gonna kill me. And I'm like, what? Why am I gonna kill him? And then this played. And I'm like, you're mean. You are a mean, mean person.
Which you can follow at Wild Talk Radio, Rack Radio Show on the Twitters. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward. Come to wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, and interact with us live. And it's only the beginning.
Yes, it's only the beginning. He's going to torture me tonight because, well, we have news, we have notes, we're going to be talking WWE Fastlane, we're going to, you know, preview it, run it down for you, give you our picks, you can give us your picks, we'll tell you how you can do that. We also have NXT, and yes, we are going to be talking about SmackDown later in the show, and yes, we are talking about the Bray thing, Bray-Randy situation, in which we're going to be having fired-themed music throughout the night, because somebody is a jerk.
Yep.
Not naming any names, but I'm giving epic-level side-eye.
What? I didn't do anything.
You're a person.
Okay, and?
He cried.
And?
You're so mean. so mean. Anyway, I say we jump right into news brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net. What do you say? Maybe? Possibly? As he's sitting there dying. You know what? He didn't give me the answer, so we are moving forward. Because, well, we have a lot of news, and most of it is actually TNA related. Surprise, surprise. So, we're just gonna kind of jump into it, because TNA has been doing a lot of moving this week. We're gonna start with the good news first. because the good news is always better. They announced that they will be returning to Spike TV in the UK only. This is not US, this is UK only, a little bit later this year, which is awesome news for them. He's still dying. So, and just to fill everybody in terms of the Spike TNA situation, they will not be coming to the United States. Spike is rebranding in the summer, and they're not going to pick up TNA. But this is an excellent relationship. They're rebuilding this. So something else could happen. They could go on another network that's owns, or for the parent company that Spike, that owns Spike, they could go on another network. Who knows? But Jarrett is working that deal, so congratulations to them.
It will be, I believe, April 21st, they return. They're going to air on Fridays, so 24 hours after it airs in the States. But if you're in the UK and you still want to see it on the day it happens, you get the Impact on TNA app still, maybe call it the Impact app at some point, where you can watch it for $4.99 on the same day.
Ding!
Which they've been pushing lately. So it's good. Again, they have a TV deal, which means they're going to get paid, hopefully be paid money, which is another revenue source, which they desperately need.
It's growth.
Because they got tossed off of Channel 1, I believe it was, when the contract ran out. I believe they were on Spike UK a few years ago, when you go figure. And now, with this new regime with Anthem Sports Entertainment, who put the deal together, there you go.
So hopefully they can kind of renew some of those TV contracts and get themselves back on track. But it's good news, because it is growth for the company. They're starting to branch back out again, which is nice to hear, because you'd rather hear they get a TV deal than they don't get a TV deal.
All right,
or they lose one.
Also that, it's the Republic of Ireland as well. It will include Impact Wrestling TNA pay-per-views, one-night-only specials, and TNA Explosion will be available exclusive to My5, which is part of the Channel 5 stable of Sky TV. Whatever that means.
Yeah, we're not in the UK, so if somebody from the UK would like to explain that to us, we would very much appreciate it. But in the meantime, there you go.
There you go.
Also, an exciting arrival for Impact Wrestling, because I'm going to try and call it the right thing, because it's not TNA anymore. They announced that they have lured Bruce Pritchard back to the fold, and he has returned to TNA. Impact, whatever you want to call it.
He's returned to Impact Wrestling as an on-screen character, as it were, because of his highly successful podcast.
Hey, we're employable.
I mean, you know how to get a hold of us.
I'm 3.5 hours from Nashville. I can get to Orlando if I have to.
So, he'll be a regular on the television program, and...
Spoiler alert!
They have also acquired another former WWE superstar to be a part of their talent roster, since a lot of people are going and a lot of people are coming. So again,
spoiler alert!
Alberto El Patron is now part of Impact Wrestling. So that was
spoiler alert!
Right here on the show.
He played it 4 times, just so everybody's aware.
Three times.
Seemed like 4.
Spoiler alert!
Now it's four.
Okay. And in sadder news for Impact Wrestling, it had several departures over the past week, including both Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Drew Galloway,
the Bennetts, Maria and Mike, and Jade have all left the company for greener pastures. No word on Galloway, where he's going. No word on the family of Hardys, where they're going, although there's a lot of rumors. Same for the Bennetts and Jade.
All right, we got to talk about the Hardys.
Talk away.
Oh, before we do the Hardys, I want to mention one more thing. Bill Banks is no longer with the company as well.
Yes, Bill Banks has left.
Which, you know, is always an interesting thing. So, but moving on with the Hardy Boys. There's a lot of talk about the Hardy Boys. Matt stirring it up, some of them himself. And there's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo going on. So the reason why most of these people have left. Drew Galloway, start with him. I know I said Hardy, we're now moving backwards. Drew Galloway left because he got the contract late. And he felt like they offered him a lot of money, but they waited till the last minute. And for a pro wrestler, waiting till the last minute is not something you can do, because you have to come up with backup plans. And he's already come up with his backup plans. He's booked his future. So he can't unbook his future because TNA comes calling at the last minute. Maria and Mike Bennett, we reported last week, were staying. Apparently they agreed to contracts back in December, just like the Hardys did. And decided not to sign because there was new management. Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett were, I don't know what you can call it, but they were tight with Billy Corgan, and they were very outspoken when Billy left. That may have not played well with the new owners. Just call it a hunch. Jade, I guess her contract came up, and they're going younger. Younger and cheaper, I guess. It's the best way to put it. With her. And then there's the Hardy Boys. Matthew and Jeffrey, Brother Nero and the Broken One. They're could be coming to WWE in the near future. WWE is very interested in the brand that is Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. They believe they can get one more run out of the two. But the key thing with Matt is the Broken Universe. And both sides believe they own the Broken Universe. Impact does. Matt does. And Matt Hardy has gone on record saying he's going to continue the Broken Universe. Impact believes it's their intellectual property. That's sort of a debate. I guess it's legal mumbo-jumbo, I guess.
Well, it isn't. It is interesting because here are the things with the Hardys. The rumor is they are going to WWE, that there have been feelers, that there have been talks. Again, this is all rumor. It's unsubstantiated, so nobody knows if this is actually true or not. But the whole reason why WWE would mainly want to sign the Hardys is because of the Broken gimmick, because of what it did. They're getting delete chance. It did go viral, so there is a chance for them to capitalize off of it. If WWE cannot use that, that hurts the Hardys. They can still bring them in. They can still do the nostalgia thing where Matt and Jeff come in as the Hardy Boys. They have a run for a year and then they leave. Like, they can still do that and that'll be fine. But I think they really want to get their hands on the Broken gimmick. And if TNA owns it and owns the intellectual property for it, that hurts the Hardys' chances, at least really kind of financially, with WWE. Because they can ask for a lot more money if they're going to be doing this gimmick versus just a generic tag team gimmick. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out in terms of who actually owns that gimmick.
I believe, this is just me, I believe Matt Hardy owns the gimmick.
I think Matt Hardy owns the gimmick as well.
Because Matt Hardy is very smart. He's very business savvy. He would have never created the character without owning the character. You know, that's sort of how that goes. He's smart enough to know to cover his ass. For all Rebby's faults, she's smart enough to make sure he covered his ass.
Yeah.
Because despite what she does on Twitter, Rebby Hardy is a very good businesswoman. She knows what she's doing. She makes sure her husband is protected in these matters.
Oh yeah, that's their bread and butter right there.
Mm-hmm. So it's something where they know where what they have to do. They know the whole situation. And we'll see what happens, but that's a legal fight that could be on our hands coming up here in the not-so-distant future. They are technically now free agents. They are not signed with anyone. They have scheduled appearances throughout April. They have a big one coming up on April 1st against the Bucks of Youth in Ring of Honor at a house show, WrestleMania weekend. And beyond that, they probably have a few indie dates, but they could be on Monday Night Raw as of Monday if they really wanted to, or maybe the night after WrestleMania. Maybe WrestleMania themselves, they come out and confront the host of WrestleMania. Who knows? But it could be a thing.
It could be a thing. I mean, there is a lot of movement going on right now in the wrestling industry between Impact and WWE in terms of shifting people, in terms of people leaving, in terms of people going other places. So it's an interesting time to watch and see where everybody ends up.
I like the moving chess pieces. It makes the thing very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's like, it's drama. We all love drama. Gives us something to do.
It does. We enjoy the drama.
At least I do. Because, you know, reasons that I can't go into on this show. So anyway, shifting over to WWE, they have a departure as well, although it has not been made official. Jack Swagger came out on Chael Sonnen's podcast and announced that he has asked for his release from WWE. It has not been granted yet. Everybody's pretty much guessing they will announce it tomorrow. They have not announced as of yet.
Well, Jack Swagger has an indie appearance next weekend.
Yeah, so it's probably been granted. They just haven't made the formal, you know, we wish you the best in your future endeavors kind of thing. They typically announce that stuff on Friday.
They do. They sort of try to drop it in on a Friday, and just so everyone's not, you know, too busy. It's a Friday dump, and they go with it. So I would expect by Friday or latest middle of next week, Jack Swagger will be no longer with the company. They were in the middle of contract renegotiations, because I guess his contract was coming up here in the not-so-distant future, and he wanted to be paid money. He wanted to be treated like he thought he was worth, and in their eyes, he is not worth the amount they want to pay, you know, the amount he thinks he is. This sounds typical WWE management and wrestlers who believe they're worth more than they should be. It sounds very similar to other people that are on the low card that want to be paid like main eventers. But we all knew the writing was on the wall. And it started back when he has, one, he hasn't been on TV that often. Two, do you all remember Elimination Chamber? Every person that was healthy was on that show. Except for Jack Swagger. But you're the only healthy individual on a brand, not on a pay-per-view. The writing's on that wall.
Yeah. I mean, Swagger got used here and there for lumberjack matches as an extra, battle royals, whatever. But it's like, they weren't doing anything. They haven't really done anything with Swagger in years. I mean, he pretty much got busted for pot and that was it. They just like sank his career right to the bottom and he's been there ever since. And you feel bad for the guy because it's like, you know, okay, yeah, he got busted for it. He got punished. You know, they really tried to bring him back with the Real Americans. He had a little bit of a resurgence there. And then they got split up and he just never was able to recover because they put him with Coulter and then they put him with Cesaro and that was a thing and just... And you feel bad for him. I mean, this is a former WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
I just need to point that out.
Yeah, he is.
And I mean, they worked really hard on him. They invested a lot in him to get him to that title, to put that title on him, and then he screwed up. And everybody got mad because they left the title on him and then took it off of him shortly after, but not almost directly after. Like, everybody wanted him just, like, stripped of the title. And they didn't do it. He lost it, I think, at the next pay-per-view. Or no, did he retain?
Wasn't that at WrestleMania and then he retained it?
Yeah, it was at Mania. It was right before Mania and he retained the title because that was the plan. And they did not change the plan and then he lost it.
To Del Rio, yeah. He lost it to Del Rio at WrestleMania. He lost it at the... He retained it at the Chamber when people thought he would drop it there.
Yeah. So it's like they had a plan for Swagger and Del Rio, and they stuck to the plan because it was close to Mania, and everybody was pissed about that, but then after, you know, he lost the title, they just kicked him right to the bottom until the Real Americans happened.
The Real Americans, yes.
So he's been kind of floating on the bottom to the mid-card ever since, and I could see, you know, honestly, I'm surprised it did not happen sooner than this.
Every time there's been rumors of firings, my first name on my list has been Jack Swagger.
Yeah. No. I mean, seriously, it's like, the fact that he's been there as long as he has and he's survived that many cuts, it's like, damn, dude.
Right.
But, you know, best of luck to him as he moves forward in his life. I hope he finds a successful career and a happiness. If nothing else, go home and just spend some time with your wife and your kids. But obviously, he's going right to the Indies, so...
And
who knows? We may be reporting he could be the new TNA signing. Impact signing. I'm sorry. This is going to be like when WWE changed their name.
You just said that like 20 minutes ago.
I'm saying it again for people that just tuned in. If anybody just tuned in, it's going to take me like a year. Just so everybody knows. It's conditioning.
So what else is in the news?
And one last happy note, because we're ending on a happy note with the news. WWE has announced their next Hall of Famer, and she is creating a first because they announced the Glamazon Beth Phoenix will be an inductee in this year's Hall of Fame, making her and Edge the first couple to both be Hall of Famers.
That was a big deal. It's kind of cool. I've always enjoyed Beth Phoenix's work. It would have been amazing if she was in this era.
Oh my god.
And not in the era she was in.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Phoenix Charlotte, Phoenix Bailey, Phoenix Sasha, Phoenix Becky.
Phoenix Becky.
Phoenix Alexa.
Oh my god, Beth and Alexa. Oh my god.
That would be an awesome duo.
That would be an amazing duo.
She'd be the muscle for Alexa's trash talk. It would be amazing.
Nia, Beth.
Yeah.
Talk about an... No, talk about an unstoppable force of Nia Jax and Beth Phoenix.
That would be an unstoppable force.
I mean, could you just imagine?
Yeah, her stuff with Santino was really good. She deserves it. She was a trendsetter in her time because she was not your typical diva.
She came in at the tail end of the Golden Age, and she was there through the Diva Age, and she kind of, she had one of the longest reigns as women's or divas?
I'll have to look that up. So, Keep talking.
I believe it was the Divas title where she had the longest reign, where she literally went through the entire division and nobody could take that belt off her until Eve got her and beat her for that title. And I think that's how Eve won her first title. But she had, I think, 4 total reigns as women/Divas champion. She is one of, I believe, 2 women to be in the Royal Rumble, China, I think, being the only other one.
Karma.
She eliminated Kali.
Karma, 1 of 3.
1 of 3, I'm sorry. I always forget about Karma.
Yeah, I think she was the Divas champion when Eve won the belt, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know Eve beat her for the title because it was a huge deal because they did it on Raw.
It was on a Monday Night Raw, yeah.
Where Eve beat Beth and Eve, like, everybody was, like, wanted Eve to win that title because Beth had been champion for so long and nobody been able to beat her because she literally just dominated the division. But
she had it for 204 days, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so excited for Beth. She's so cute and I can't wait.
Rumors have it Edge could be the inductor or Kelly Kelly.
I would be okay with Kelly Kelly. I would be okay with Edge. I'd be okay with Natty. Another one you could do is probably Michelle McCool. Or Layla.
You have a better chance of getting Michelle McCool than Layla.
Actually, you have a really good chance of getting Michelle McCool, considering.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said it. The two, you have a better chance of getting Michelle McCool.
I'm trying to think. Mickey James?
Could do Mickey.
But, because they were in OVW together, so Mickey might be a good one. You could do the Bella Twins.
No,
or a Bella Twin.
Don't do the Bella Twins.
I'm just thinking of all the people that are still there when Beth was there, and it's like, there are quite a few. But they'll probably do Kelly Kelly, because she's already kind of hinted at it.
Yeah, she's sort of hinted at it, yeah. So, there's that.
But congratulations, Beth! Yay! And now, we are going to shake things up, because we're doing the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
We're switching things up because everything else is going to go very long. So, here in the NXT Rundown, NXT this week featured 2 championship matches. But first, what the font?
They finally fixed Patrick Kirk's font! Thank you, Jesus! I don't have to rant about it anymore on Twitter. They finally heard me!
They finally heard her cries. They changed his font. He beat Sean Maluta. He's doing a Prince gimmick. We'll see how it works.
It's different! It suits him. I don't know if it works in a wrestling environment, but it's different. I will give him that.
It is different. Sanity tried to be Wyatt's, because reasons. They were in a feel, they were talking, it felt very Wyatt-ish. Any comment on that?
They were trying to get Wyatt-y in their Wyatt-ness.
There you go. We then had Asuka defend the Women's Championship against Peyton Royce.
This was a good match. This was a really, really, really good match.
Couple things. The gear does not work for Peyton Royce. Number 1. 2, Peyton Royce out of the 2 will be between her and Billie Kay, is the more improved of the duo, the better wrestler at this point. She is less stiff than Billie Kay. 3, Asuka is still amazing, if we didn't know that. And yeah, it was a very fine match. Nothing blow away, but it was very, very fine.
I would agree. I think Peyton's the stronger wrestler between her and Billie. She's definitely less stiff. I like Billie, but there's always been something about Billie that bothers me just in terms of her style. Like, she's just too... She's too something. I'm not sure what, but it's just like there's something about Billie that bothers me with the way that she wrestles. Peyton, I don't have that problem. She's much more smooth. She's more fluid. She can do a hell of a bridge. And she's just... I think overall, she's just a little bit better.
The Authors of Pain defended the NXT Tag Team titles against DIY. The match ended in, I guess, a disqualification. When the Revival showed up, I have one complaint about this match. I never felt like DIY was going to win. I know it's a tame show and everything, but I never bought it. I never bought them winning. I know they had some near falls towards the end where they looked like they were going to win, especially with the submissions. It's like, I never bought the Monsters losing the belts on a random NXT show, if that makes sense. And I think that took away some of it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, it's like, they're getting the rematch out of the way because it's likely the DIY is on their way up. Somebody's on their way up. Not sure who, whether it's the Revival or DIY, but somebody's going up. So you burn the rematch, you get it out of the way, so that way you don't have to do it at TakeOver in Orlando. Because I think they're doing DIY and the Revival.
No, they're going to do it 3-way, it looks like. Do all 3 teams for the tag titles. That's where they're headed. And number 2, this is the complaint to .com. If the revival attack DIY, DIY wins. Not Pain beat DIY. That's a nitpick.
Yeah.
That's a nitpick of someone who didn't know, and someone who, every other report you read, it's the other way around, and on .com, it has it the other way.
I guess because they figure that they attacked both teams, that they're just going to give it to the author. I don't know.
Then that should be a draw.
It should be a draw. Agreed, but it's like, for whatever reason, they're scoring it as Authors of Pain, which they didn't do. Excuse me.
Yeah, the Authors of Pain did not win that match, but they retained their belts. It's a nitpick. It's just a tiny nitpick scoring-wise for fantasy. That's all. It's a nitpick. But yeah, I never bought them winning.
Well, you knew they weren't going to win, but it was still a good match.
The match was fine, but it was never that believable. That's all. Which took away the enjoyment of it for me. That's all.
Fair enough. So, that does it for NXT.
That does it for NXT, and I guess we take a break.
So, when we come back, we are talking all things Fastlane. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. She got both feet on the ground, and she's burning it down. Oh,
out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest N64 video game of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Hey, I be in my zone. I got this, I'ma do it all alone. I don't need your help, I do it on my own. I got this, cause I be in my zone. Somebody watch this, I got this. Man, everybody watch this, I got this. Man, somebody watch this.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Almost messed it up. Didn't do it. You can also listen to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net. And if you are listening there, thank you so much for joining us. We are back, and we are talking Fastlane.
Which is live this Sunday on the WWE Network. You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork tomorrow and post your picks. You can also tweet them at Rock Radio Show or at Wild Talk Radio. So it's time for us to go up against the 8-ball in the video game, which you can see all the simulations now at youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. Let's start with the pre-show, shall we?
Let's.
Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa take on the Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. I want to always call him Nomar. Noam Dar with Alicia Fox. This is simple and easy. It's the baby faces.
Of course it's
Swann and Tozawa. It's simple and easy. We know it. It's the way it's going to be. It's a pre-show match. Of course the baby faces are going to go over. Usually in tag team situations, the baby faces go over. Except for 205 Live, where the heels actually won a match. That's kind of surprising. But yeah, I'm going to Tozawa and Swann.
I would agree with that. Plus, it's the pre-show, so they're not going to, I think, try to do anything too crazy or out of the box with this. They're just going to sort of just, you know, okay, yeah, faces win.
So the ring crew sets up the ring, tapes it just for this match, has to untape it to get into the main show.
I feel so bad for the ring crew. I really do.
Now, if I were the ring crew, I would just keep it on there. And if I was WWE, I would say, hey, we're going to open with the Cruiserweight title match.
They're not going to do that, though.
That would be smart. Because we're going to get a 10-minute break in this pay-per-view, which is pointless. Anyway, video game and 8-Ball went with Kendrick and Dar. They didn't get the memo. Just saying. Anywho, speaking of the Cruiserweight title, it is Neville versus the Gentleman, Jack Gallagher.
I have mixed feelings about this.
Okay, what are your mixed feelings?
Because part of me wants Gallagher to win, but I really like what they're doing with Neville. Like, really like it. It's the most relevant he's been since he came up from NXT, which is really sad. And I feel like he needs to rule that division. Like, he just needs to run it for a while. So, and plus, Mania is literally right around the corner. You're not going to change the title at Fastlane heading into Mania.
Not this title.
Not this title, no.
Other titles, maybe. This title, not so much.
Yeah. A title will likely change hands, not this one. I feel like you need to have Neville walk into Mania as the Cruiserweight champion. It makes sense to me to do that. Because you have him doing this whole King of the Cruiserweights thing, and he's been champion for, what, about a month, 2 months now?
Since the Royal Rumble.
So, yeah, I feel like he needs to, he just needs to keep it for a little bit longer.
Here's what I would do. I'd Neville win, first off. And then WrestleMania, have it be some sort of Cruiserweight open invitational thing, and he can fight as many people as he wants in that match, right?
Right.
He retains his belt on that night. And then going forward, either the next night on Raw, I would have Austin Aries show up and go, you defeated them, but now you have to face the greatest man to ever live, who also likes the rack.
No, he likes a good rack. Who likes this happens to be a good rack.
Yeah, this happens to be a good rack, yes. So, that's how I would book it. That way you start, he gets rid of all the competition, and then bam, which have been hinting at Aries coming back. That's how I would book it. But they'll probably book it where it's Aries and Neville at WrestleMania, which is, that's fine too. But that's how I'd book it. So I have Neville retained.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a little torn because I want to see Gallagher win, but at the same time, Neville is really coming into his own in this. He's finally finding his place on the main roster, which is what you want for him. And I feel like taking the title away from him right now would cut the legs out from under him. So I say Neville's going to retain it for now. He could lose it at Mania. He could lose it the night after Mania to Austin Aries. Who knows? But yeah, I see Neville retaining.
There's no need to hot potato this belt when you have a long-term future with it.
Mm-mm.
And Neville's the centerpiece of your division.
Yeah, it's like you've got him back, you've got him in a nice prime spot, keep him there for a while.
Video game goes Neville with us, but the 8-ball goes with the Gentleman, Jack Gallagher. So there you go. Up next, Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. Nia.
Yeah, Nia.
Love Sasha. I said this last month, I'll say it again. Love Sasha, but you're building Nia. Nia's unstoppable. Nia just beat Bayley. Sasha's not going to beat Nia if Nia just beat Bayley. It makes no sense. But it's somebody going to be booking, so Sasha's going to win. No, I have Nia win. You got to have Nia as the legit biggest threat heading into WrestleMania, even if she's not winning WrestleMania.
Yeah, you need to keep Nia strong right now. And Sasha beating her, at least clean, is not going to keep Nia strong. if you're going to do the four-way, you need to have her walk in there being the monster, being the beast, being the unstoppable force.
Because you've
in this match.
Right. Charlotte's automatically in the four-way. Bayley's automatically in the four-way. Sasha's automatically in the four-way because she just beat Charlotte. Nia needs to beat Sasha to get her position in the four-way since she just beat Bayley. All the pieces add up. Nia should win this one.
Yeah. Agreed. Nia.
Video game goes Sasha. Eight ball goes Nia. In what will probably be the match of the night, Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe.
Oh my god, this is going to be so good. At least I hope it is. I hope they hit fourth gear and they just tear it down. Because I kind of need them to.
I hope they tear it down. This is Joe kill Sami time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this for all the people who love Sami Zayn out there, which we do really like Sami Zayn, but this is Joe's gonna kill you time. Joe's on a rampage. Joe needs to look like a monster because he's part of Hunter's stable and he needs to look strong right now. So Samoa Joe, who just got called up, needs this win.
Yeah, this is his first pay-per-view match. This is his debut. This is a lot of things for Joe. It makes 100% sense to have him win over Sami. I love Sami very much. I think he's an amazing person. I think he's an amazing wrestler. This is not his match. This is not his time. Sadly, they've kind of relegated him to be the beat-up guy or be the fall guy for a lot of these guys, you know, for people like Joe, for people like Owens, who really are just bullies, in the hope that I think they'll push Sami at some point, but now's not it. I say Joe's going to kill Sami.
When you're the third or fourth babyface on the roster, this is your position.
Yeah, but at least he's not there to just be beaten up by Kevin Owens, so that's relieving.
No, he's just there to be beat up by Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe.
It's growth?
No, this is not going to go under 5 minutes because the other matches are going to go under 5 minutes. This one needs to go at least 15.
Yeah, this is going at least 15.
12 to 15, this has to go. I got Joe, you got Joe. Video game has Sami via submission, by the way. And the 8-ball has Samoa Joe. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. I was screwing around last night after, like, late night, and I put it on Twitch. They had Braun Strowman come out as the Cruiserweight Champion. Because thank you to K17 for making me laugh. Braun Strowman, Cruiserweight Champion. For
He's totally 205.
He is totally 205 in his right thigh. This one has the potential to be really, really awful, passable, or pretty decent. I'm not going to say this is going to be very good, because I don't expect it to. Because I'm going to keep my expectations low on this one, because that's better that way. Because it's Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Braun Strowman is improving, and if they brawl, which they should, they can hit pretty decent. What do you think?
I'm calling my shot. Gong. At the end of this match. I mean, in terms of the match, it's going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be a barn burner. I'm hoping it's a brawl, and it's a fight, and then that will suit Roman and Braun better. If they try to have a wrestling match, it's going to be terrible. But if they actually just stand there and beat the crap out of each other for about 10 minutes, that'll be fine. That's all you need to do, because this is the blow-off. Roman's getting Taker. They're either going to set it up Sunday or they're going to do it Monday. Personally, I think they're going to do the gong and the lights are going to go out. And somehow, someway, Taker is going to cost Roman the match, very similarly to how Roman cost Taker the Rumble. And you're just going to kind of start from there and go from there and set it up. Because you have to, because you're less than a month away from Mania at this point. So you need to get Roman and Taker rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep rolling, rolling. Actually, we're technically, as of today, from this point, right where we're sitting, we're 30 days.
Right at 30 days?
30, 31, something like that. It's April 2nd, I think, right?
Yeah.
So about, what, 30 days then?
Somewhere right in there, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah. Yeah, as far as a winner goes, I want Braun. I really want Braun.
It's gonna be Braun. Unless you have, because this would technically be Braun Strowman's first loss if Roman beats him. And if you have Roman beat him, that's gonna kill Braun's momentum. You don't want to kill his momentum going into Mania. You don't want to do what you did to Ryback, which is cut his legs out from under him and then just screw him. It's like, if you're building Braun as a proper monster, build him as a monster and give him the win at Fastlane. Roman can potentially make it up on Raw. It's really not that big of a deal. He's getting Taker. He's going to get the rub from Taker. We don't know who's winning that match. I mean, for all we know, Taker could lay down for Roman at Mania. Doubtful, but it could happen. So give Braun the victory here, because it doesn't really count for anything, and it won't hurt Roman.
Yeah, I go Braun, you go Braun. 8-ball and video game go Roman Reigns. Tag titles on the line. Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Kaz. Thoughts?
I don't know. I'm kind of waning on Enzo and Cass a little bit. Like, I like Enzo and Cass. I think they're entertaining, but I guess I want them to do a little bit more than the shtick. And I think it's more Enzo than Cass, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, I just need a little bit of a tweak or a little bit of change, something in the gimmick. But it's just like, I'm just kind of waning on them for whatever reason, maybe because I'm just tired of it.
You need growth.
I need growth from them, and I'm not getting it. I need growth in a lot of areas. I'm discovering that recently. But yeah, you just put the belts on Gallows and Anderson. It doesn't make sense to take them off that quickly. I mean, I hate to say that for Enzo and Cass, because having the belts would do wonders. But again, it's the principle of we're about a month away from Mania, give or take a day. They're not going to change the tag titles.
I'm going Enzo and Cass.
I say Gallows and Anderson.
Video game goes Enzo and Cass. 8-Ball goes Gallows and Anderson.
So what's next? As he goes quiet on me. So he's either coughing, he pulled out his microphone or something, but he's silent.
I was waiting for a sneeze that never came. It is WWE Women's Championship Bayley versus Charlotte.
Oh, this is a head scratcher, because you have a lot of factors in this. One, Charlotte's streak. Do they break it at Fastlane? Or do they break it at Mania? Then there's the whole four-way to consider.
It would be stupid and dumb to break the streak at Fastlane. It would be. You do it at Rumble, you do it at WrestleMania. You didn't do it at Rumble. You could have done it at WrestleMania for Bayley's first title win. We've all sort of talked about that. In terms of this match, they're going to have a really good match. They've already hinted about Sasha being Bayley's corner if she can survive Nia. We know Dana's probably going to play a factor somewhere. This matchup ends in a no contest. When Nia Jax levels both women.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You weren't supposed to agree.
But it's what makes sense.
It gets you to the four-way.
It gets you to the four-way. It's how you set up the four-way, where you just have Nia come out and, like, take out Charlotte and Bayley, and then she attacks Sasha again, because Sasha comes back out, and you just have this giant brawl between all four women that results in a no contest.
It's not even a brawl, it's a massive beatdown. Nia leaves her mark on everybody. That's where I see it going. That's the way it should go. This, one, keeps the belt on Bayley so we don't hot potato the belt. Two, it keeps Charlotte streak alive because a double disqualification is a draw, which means the match never happened.
So she retains her streak.
She retains her streak.
It's the easiest way out of it, because otherwise you have Charlotte win by... Or you have Bayley... Yeah, you have Charlotte win by DQ, and Bayley keeps the title, which is kind of a cheaper finish than you have a no contest.
I mean, you can do it that way, but it makes no sense, because she's not aligned with Charlotte, and she's not aligned with Bayley. So she can beat up both women. Her goal is the title. She wants the title. She made it clear 3 weeks ago on Raw. That's her goal. She wants the belt. She's not going to let it hot potato between Bayley and Charlotte. She wants the belt. So at WrestleMania, you put all four women in there. It makes perfect sense. Everyone's going to gun for Nia as well as the belt.
Yep.
It adds to the story. I'm going no contest. You're going?
No contest.
Video game one with Bayley and 8-Ball one with Charlotte. You have a point?
No, I was just going to say, like I said, it just doesn't make any sense. To hot potato, for the sake of her pay-per-view streak. Just make it a no contest. It's easier on everybody. Less confusing.
And to answer Tara, count-out is worse. Count-out is lame. That ends in booze, and not the booze you want. You want the booze on Nia for causing it. And then in your main event, WWE Universal Championship, Kevin Owens and Goldberg.
Ugh.
Goldberg.
This is no offense to Goldberg, but I'm just not looking forward to this or where this is going to lead, because I'm just not feeling this at all. I feel I'm kind of with everybody where it's like Kevin Owens really should walk into Mania as the champion. He's done a fantastic job with that title since he's won it, and he's almost had it for a year.
Since September,
that's right. Rollins, no, not Rollins.
It was created in at SummerSlam for Finn Balor. Finn Balor got injured. Kevin Owens won it in the last week of August, early September, whatever it was.
That's right. For whatever reason, I keep thinking it's like he did it right after Mania. I don't know why I keep thinking he did it right after Mania, but he didn't. I don't know why. But yeah, no, he's had it about 6 months, 7 months?
Something like that.
somewhere in there. And he's done a fantastic job carrying it. It has done wonders for his career. It has done wonders for Monday Night Raw. He's the number one heel on that show. There is no question. But they're going to put it on Goldberg. Because they're going to do Goldberg versus Brock at Mania for the title. Which I don't feel like the title needs to be involved. But okay, we're doing it for the title. Like, I hate when they do matches like that. And they throw the title in the mix. Because it doesn't need to be in there. It really doesn't. It's like anytime The Undertaker, you know, it's like Undertaker, Shawn. Everybody wanted the title to be in the mix. The title doesn't need to be in there. This is big enough without it. Let them be the stars. Let them anchor it. Don't put a title in there just because you can.
So, I'll say this about the match. The match doesn't start. Chris Jericho comes out. Kevin Owens is distracted by Jericho. Goldberg made a promise. How was the match supposed to end? Spear, jackhammer. 1, 2, 3. Jericho's the reason why.
I know, but that's so lame.
But that's the way it's gonna be.
But that's the way it's gonna be. Goldberg's gonna win, but and that sets up Jericho Owens, but still, it's like, that's so lame. It's really lame. I'm sorry. I like Goldberg fine. I'm sure he's a very nice man. I just am not a fan of Brock and Goldberg. I just don't want to see it again. Saw it once. It's 2 minutes. Everybody was extremely confused at the end of it. I'm good to go.
Well, that's okay. You have Bray Wyatt and somebody to talk about the fight for that title at WrestleMania that you'll even more care about. But to wrap this up, Goldberg, 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 and Goldberg for the video game in April. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Again, you can go to facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork and make your picks starting tomorrow.
But when we come back, we are talking SmackDown. That's right. It gets its own segment because we are going long, y'all. So go get you a drink. Go get you a snack. Because when we come back, we're doing the SmackDown Throwdown and Tweet of the Week. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off,
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Which series has the greatest character of all time? CB Radio decides. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday nights midnight-ish Eastern live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. If you're just joining us, you missed the news, you missed NXT, you missed Fastlane, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Johnny Gargano, look who's in WWE Supercard. I hope your excitement level is closer to I got a holographic Charizard than it's, oh, another Diglett. Johnny, I don't know about where you live, but Diglets really aren't that common here. Just saying.
Well, you know, some places are more common than the other.
You know, the next two are for Brent, because he can relate. Johnny Gargano, I've been on the hunt for Stranger Things Funko Pops the past few days. I have found 465 Wills and 0 11s. And he shows a picture of 11 making a gun gesture to her head. Johnny Gargano goes, I got my 11 plus a baby Groot. Plus rare upside down Will, plus bonus Piglet? Hey, you can't just have just one. It's kind of like Pringles. Right, Britt? You can't just have just one.
He's like 70.
Johnny Gargano. Introduced Tommaso to The Office. He just said that I am a combination of Michael and Jim. It was the nicest thing he's ever said to me.
Who said it to who? Who said it to who? Tommaso said it to Johnny?
Yeah, Tommaso said it to Johnny.
So Johnny is Michael and Jim?
combination.
I can see that. I can totally see that. I had to picture it in my head for a second because I watched The Office. Yeah, I can see that. That works.
Yeah. You would know. He's the Office expert. I've never watched it.
It's a great show. That works. He has the girl. He got the girl. Yeah, it works.
Yeah, it works. And finally, Tommaso Ciampa. Me, I never want a promo versus John Cena. Johnny, he would probably make me cry. Hashtag SmackDown Live. Which we're going to talk about. Anyway, that's it for me.
WWE Creative-ish. Tom Phillips, WWE, would now like to be known as the face who face blanks the Pelés. Hashtag KFA. I kept that one clean.
Oh my god. Okay, yes. Sorry. Continue.
Leslie Goodell. Tremendous opening monologue highlighted by a crowd shot to which my 11-year-old son said, "Those are some big boobies." There you go. Fake Sports Center. And the Oscar for Best Choke goes to the Atlanta Falcons. Ardo O'Cal. Great dusty finish. Give Moonlight the win while still keeping La La Land strong. Smart booking. Hashtag Oscars. Billy Eichner, if anyone from the In Memoriam is still alive, please let us know.
Because somebody was.
M. Night Shyamalan, I wrote the ending of the Academy Awards 2017. Jimmy Kimmel, we really got them. Cody Rhodes, pretty sure I know who booked this. Miss Universe, have your people call our people. We know what to do. Richard Triafo, so how many people who boycotted the Oscars will be using the hashtag not my best picture? Richard Triumph, what happened tonight with the Oscars is the reason why WWE did not hold the Slammies. Let's see. Up, up, down, down. Tweets, after countless battles against Finn Balor, Xavier Woods, PhD, looks to put an end to the rivalry in WWE 2K17. Finn Balor, this rivalry will never, ever end. Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, I will fight you to the bitter end. WWE Creative Rich, Seth Rollins is another washed up, beat up superstar. Time for him to start a podcast? A long time ago, Bray Wyatt tweeted at Matt Hardy Brand, you know where to find us. Recently, Matt Hardy tweeted, I certainly do. Champion of McMahon's Blues Show. At least I can trust my brother Nero. Oh
my god, that's so cold. Funny, but cold.
Jason Kesslier, Bray Wyatt huddled in a ball crying. Then bam, Todd Chrisley, truly spooky stuff on USA Network. Headlock comic. Listen, Randy Orton. If you want to be popular, you gotta kill living people when you commit arson. You know, like The Undertaker did.
Hashtag, thank you!
Hashtag SmackDown Live. Sharkboy, CNN reports that 8 out of 10 people are responding to the presidential address favorably. Related note, nearly 8 people like Josh Matthews. WWE Publishing put out the Daniel Bryan version of the Emerald City Comic-Con cover, which is him wrestling a bear. Daniel Bryan tweeted, this is based on a true story. Love it. Christopher Daniels. I also wrestled a bear once. That true story was also chronicled in a comic form. Hashtag awesome bear. And it's a picture of the comic they made. Daniel Bryan replied, you and I are the last real men. All these youngins are too busy pussyfooting around on their cellular machines to wrestle a bear. To wrestle a bear, rather.
Daniel.
Christopher Daniels. I'm such a real man. I retweeted that with a pipe wrench. And Christopher Daniels was asked, if you can leap back in time to wrestle one person, who would it be and why? Abraham Lincoln. Just to finally get a W after 2 draws, we wrestled.
Bless.
And that was Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, well, now it's come. Everybody buckle up, because it's going to take a while. It's the SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Alright, so we gotta get this out of the way. We gotta talk about the most epic thing that happened on the show. Okay, we're gonna start with it and then end with stuff that wasn't so good. So the most epic thing that happened on SmackDown Live this past Tuesday was Apollo Crews versus Dolph Ziggler in a chairs match. Kidding. That was just awful.
I felt really, really bad for them because they got bookended in between some really great stuff. Like, between the number one contender match and then the end of the show is where they put the chairs match. Because for whatever reason, they did the number one contendership before this match. So it's like, that was the cooldown for Harper and Styles. That sucks, dude. That really, really sucks.
And the match ended when he dropped him on the chair on his nuts.
And everybody cringed. Everybody. Like, even the ref was like, oh, man, that's like against the bro code.
Becky Lynch and Mickie James wrestled in a best 2 out of 3 falls match.
Speaking of good matches.
Becky wins via submission. Alexa tried to get involved.
Of course she did.
Later on in the program, she was interviewing herself because whoever the interview girl wasn't asking the right question, so she was telling her what to ask her. And then Natty showed up and basically says she wants a shot. We'll see where that goes. Then we go to the beginning of the show. It was Miz TV featuring John Cena. So Miz comes out with Maryse and they introduce John Cena, and Miz right away cuts off Cena's mic. And then for about 10 minutes, the Miz unloads on John Cena. It was a verbal SmackDown. Stuff you've heard. Stuff you kind of understood. Basically, the point was, Cena has taken a lot of things away from the Miz. Opportunities. How the John Cena comes back, gets opportunities. And how John Cena is a part-time player. He is from Boston, after all. And is now going to Hollywood, etc., etc. Stuff we heard from Styles. Stuff we've heard in the past. The stuff where he says Cena took opportunities away, it's like, in the backstage politic area, that's true. Because if we all remember the old Miz beats Cena at WrestleMania, and then a month later he loses the belt, and then Miz's legs were cut out from him for a while after that. I think we all remember this. So that stuff hit home. And then Miz, after he was done unloading on John Cena, decided to unload back. And boy, did John Cena ever unload back on him. Says, if he was the one calling the shots, first off, he wouldn't be in the ring with the Miz at WrestleMania time. He'd be in the ring with the Undertaker. That's the first shot.
It's not a lie!
That is kayfabe for, hey, this was the plan at WrestleMania. Then we decided to change things, and now I'm going to team with my girlfriend. Number two. Go ahead.
Because reasons.
And Matt, I'm going to tell you now, there's no countdown. Stop. Two, because we're taking our time on this. Then he said that the Miz came in from the real world, stole Chris Jericho's personality, stole Daniel Bryan's offense and personality. He stole an AJ Styles material. And there was one other thing he stole. Oh yeah, he stole Ric Flair's move, the figure four. Well, I got a correct scene on that one. In storyline, Flair gave it to Miz. That's how that went.
True.
It's the only thing that John Cena got wrong. And the closing line was, if you push me again, you may not be the Undertaker. You would be a dead man. Digest that first.
Okay, this was absolutely fantastic. This opened the show, by the way, this right here. And you just had Miz come out, and he rips John Cena a new one. Right there, in public, shots fired, holy crap, they're going there with it, right off the bat. And then you have Cena rebut. And it was just like, damn. I mean, damn. There was no chill in this whatsoever. It was fantastic. They weren't trying to hide it. They weren't trying to sugarcoat it. They weren't trying to do anything. It was just literally Miz and Cena standing there ripping into each other. And if that wasn't enough, then Maryse walks up to Cena and goes, oh yeah, you're all about respect. Well, respect this, and smacks the crap out of him.
Hold on. First, she talked about his manhood and his ego.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how small his you-know-what is. And then talked about respect, and then smacked him. And then what happened?
Then he just laughs at her and goes, you just made the biggest mistake of your life. Why? Because here comes his girlfriend. And Nikki Bella looks at Maryse and goes, you mess with my man, I'll break you, bitch.
And then the two decide then to make out in the middle of the ring.
This was... And even Miz was like, oh damn, you screwed up. You so screwed up.
The break you, bitch line had me laughing hysterically. Because it was awesome.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious.
It was awesome. It was... Yeah. Ashley on Twitter goes, the John Nikki versus Miz Murray story is going to be so good. If they keep it real, yes, it will. They have to keep it strong, they have to keep it real, and it ties everything together. This is the mainstream feud you can do about the show for WrestleMania. Because the Miz is the media darling, John Cena is media darling, so you can go send these guys out there, they can do some media on this.
Oh, forget Miz and Cena, send Nikki and Maryse.
That too.
I mean, you send Nikki and Maryse, and you have them drive it.
But the cool thing about it was, this was the first time Cena and Nikki were in the same ring together on WWE television. First time they've appeared together since they've been a couple. They appeared once in, like, 2009. But they weren't a thing then.
Yeah, it's something of... Or they could have been, we just didn't know about it.
I know, you still married at that point.
I rest my case.
Anyway, continue.
Because we're not going to go there. Continuing on. Since Total Divas started, everybody's been kind of wondering when they're going to tie Nikki and Cena together, when they're going to go there. And WWE has purposefully kept them apart, kept them out of each other's storylines, and Nikki's been over here and Cena's been over here, and they haven't intermixed. Now it's something that Natty kind of started to open that door, where it's, you know, she started to involve Cena more, and you started having the name drops and the insults and everything like that, and talking about the relationship, and now you're bringing it to TV, where you're putting Cena and Nikki together on TV. It's really weird to see them together on TV, because they've been apart for so long, and Nikki's been standing alone for so long that it's like to see her with Cena is just really kind of weird.
And it's different to see Cena be aligned with someone.
Yeah.
Because he's a loner. Nikki always has someone around her. She's had Eva, and she's had her sister Brie, and she's had different people, Alicia Fox, whatever. But this is the first time the two of them are together. It's going to be a different situation, but it's going to be a cool situation for the 4 weeks, whatever it is leading up to WrestleMania.
Well, if you think about it, John Cena has not done a romantic type storyline, because we'll classify this, because he's with his girlfriend, as a romantic type storyline, or an intergender storyline at least, since I want to say Mickey James. I think it's been that long since he's done one.
And I don't even remember that all the way.
Mickey, and the only reason they did that, I think, was because he was dating Mickey at that point.
I believe so, yeah.
And then something happened and they broke up. There's rumors as to what happened. We won't go into them because they don't matter. But yeah, it has been at least... God, that was what? 2008?
7, 8, something like that.
7, so almost 10 years since Cena's done any type of intergender mixed storyline to this degree. That's a long time. And it's weird.
It's very weird.
And I guess if you want to count Eve...
I don't count Eve.
I don't count Eve.
Because that was Zach's girl. Cena was just in the middle.
But, I mean, yeah. But it's like, for him and just another girl, or him and a girl, I should say, not another girl, him and a girl. It's been almost 10 years. That's a really long time. I'm curious to see how they do this. If they keep it up like they have, I'm really excited to see it.
He did a mixed tag with Trish Stratus once a time ago, thanks to Ashley on the Twitters. Yes, they did. They did a tag, but that was a one-off. It wasn't any sort of storyline. I'm liking this. I'm digging this. I've liked how they subtly wedged Maryse into it, and it'll be cool to see Maryse get physical in the ring one more time.
Agreed.
Because it's been a long time for her. Been, what, 6 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And the girls aren't going to be expected to do a whole lot at WrestleMania. Nikki's banged up, Maryse hasn't been in the ring in a few years. They'll have it all worked out, they'll be down in the performance center or the gym, or Cena's gym or whatever, and they'll have them work out everything they're going to do. That's easy enough. Everything will be fine. That match will not be the main event, but guess what? It's going to be a high-profile match for The Miz. They're going to lose in about 7 minutes. Then Cena's going to get on down on his knee and tie his shoe.
Or propose to his girlfriend.
Or pop a question. Who knows? But
we'll talk more about that when we get closer to Mania, but yeah, this should be a lot of fun if they keep this up.
Next week on SmackDown, it is going to be Carmella and James Ellsworth. You know, Carmella and James Ellsworth. James Ellsworth, his friend that is a girl.
Because she's dating Big Cass.
She's dating Big Cass, and she made sure to say, friend that is a girl. Against John Cena and Nikki, that should be a lot of fun. That should be a total squash. James Ellsworth needs to be pimped out to the tens.
I think that's going to be where Maryse and Miz show up, and you just have it end in no contest, where they all get in a fight and they all beat each other up.
I say they get the win and then they do the brawl. But they're going to do some things and everything. It's going to be a hot angle going to WrestleMania. And then we had Luke Harper versus AJ Styles.
So good.
First,
so good.
I should go backwards. First, the opening at SmackDown had AJ Styles with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. They're reviewing the footage, and AJ's like, I know I won, it's all good, we shouldn't have this match. And then he starts talking all this smack about Luke Harper.
Before you go there, I like how they're like, oh yeah, we can't tell. And AJ's like, oh yeah, I won, even though blatantly on the television, you can see it. AJ's feet hit first.
We just didn't have an angle.
But you can see Luke Harper's feet are still up on the apron, or just falling off the apron, when Styles' feet are clearly on the ground.
That's just a bad angle. You don't know for sure.
But they're like, oh, we can't tell. It's like everybody on the internet. It's a meme, for the love of God, from the Oscars. Luke Harper won the damn Battle Royal. We all know he did. He got screwed. Luke totally got screwed. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
So AJ's talking his junk, and then Luke Harper shows up.
Right stands behind him.
Stands right behind him.
Luke Harper is a big dude when they put AJ Styles next to him.
Luke Harper's a big dude in general.
He's a big dude in general, but you don't realize it because when he's with the family, they're all around the same size, right? So they all look about the same size except for Eric, who's, you know, just big in general. So it's like you look at Luke and you look at Bray and you don't realize how big either of them are because they're that equal height, sort of equal weight. So it's like you put Luke next to anybody else pretty much and it's like he's huge. He's a massive dude.
Yeah. And then Luke cuts this promo in his light room.
No, wait. Before you go there.
Go ahead.
So AJ's talking shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's talking crap. And then he turns around and he's like, oh. Okay, and Shane's still like, the match is happening. We booked it. We're still doing it. And Styles storms off, and Luke glares at Shane and Brian and goes, thank you, and leaves. And they're both like, did he just say that? Did that just happen?
So Luke cuts his promo, and then magically, where he's just out for, he's out for, you know, Bray Wyatt. He doesn't care. And then
basically, Luke Harper wants Bray Wyatt's ass on a platter. And he doesn't care how he gets it, he just wants it. Because he realizes Bray's a jerk and has been using him and has tricked him, and he's done with Bray. So he's going into this match, not for the title. He doesn't want the title. Oh no, he just wants Bray.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then Bray just magically was able to cut a promo right after.
Bray cuts him off and cuts a promo of his own. It's like, guys, only one of you gets the creepy Lightroom backstage promo. Just saying. But Bray is full of himself. He's riding high. He's the champion. He talks up how he's going to deliver his benediction tonight.
Benediction? Invocation?
Invocation. Thank you. Wrong thing. Been watching the Young Pope. Sorry. He's going to give his invocation tonight. And oh, does he have things to tell us? He's so cocky. Bray, you're going to pay for that. You're so going to pay for that.
So Luke Harper battles AJ Styles. They have a fine match. They get going. AJ hits the phenom on the forearm. 1, 2, 3. But Luke's foot's on the rope. Shane McMahon, who in the early segment said, the referee's decision is always final, comes out and restarts the match.
Because, you know, we're starting to kick off AJ versus Shane.
So one moment he goes, the referee's decision final. Next minute he's restarting the match.
Okay, but this is...
I know. It's just the irony of it. While he's out there, Luke Harper accidentally super kicks Shane in the chest.
Oops.
Luke Harper then loses to the Springboard 450. AJ Styles is the number one contender.
We all cry.
AJ Styles is very happy. He's delightful. He's delightful! Backstage with Daniel Bryan says he'll show off for the invocation later tonight. So we then go to the invocation. And go.
Oh my god. Oh my god, this was... Okay, before I get into this, a lot of people... This got a mixed reaction, but this got people talking. People have been talking about it for about 2 days now. It's a meme, for the love of God, what happened in this thing. So Bray Wyatt goes out there, he's talking, and, you know, he's doing his thing. I don't even remember what he said. That's just... That's how screwed up this was. And I love this. So Bray's out there talking, and basically he's talking about how Randy isn't there, and Randy's in the plate. Basically, Randy's either in hell, or he's where Bray comes from, or whatever. Randy's somewhere else. And then Randy pops up on the screen.
And Bray's all happy, excited. Oh my god, it's Randy. He's at my house. He's at the compound.
Randy!
Randy, you're at the compound.
He's so excited, he's so happy, and then everything just comes to a grinding halt because Randy's like, yeah. So about this whole me and you being a thing, yeah, that's not true. I've kind of been lying to you this entire time. And Randy then proceeds to go on this tirade. And I forget everything Randy said, but basically Randy revealed that, one, Sister Abigail is in fact dead. So we do have confirmation on that, because we actually got Wyatt, like, character development in this. Two, Bray buried her in the floor of the house where he cuts the promos, and he put the chair on top of the corpse in the ground because he secretly wants to be Norman Bates.
He said, at one time, he said, if you can't beat him, join him. He said, this is Bray's place, but not his. It never was. So now he says, once you join them, and it's the right time, you screw them.
In typical Randy Orton fashion.
He told Bray he was standing the ground where Sister Abigail was put to rest. He then picked up a pickaxe and said he would burn the spirit of Abigail and watch him die with her. He said he would be his servant as long as he was the master, but in a moment, he would be the master, and it would be over. Randy then picked up his gasoline can and started pouring it.
Okay, before we go there. Okay. Bray's freaking out in the ring. They did a really nice job in this of cutting back and forth between Bray and Randy really quickly to show the reactions of Bray Wyatt and to what Randy Orton was doing. So yeah, couple things on this. Abigail is dead. Bray has been cutting his promos on top of her this entire time.
Kinky.
And Randy also implies that Bray killed her. Because he says that the last time she screamed was when she drew her last breath.
And Bray was there for it.
So it's basically the implication that, oh yeah, by the way, Bray killed her. Because, you know, like you do. So awesome, awesome character development. So at this point, Randy Orton has taken away Bray's family in Luke Harper. He's about to take away his compound, and Randy is now also coming for the title, where he basically announces, oh yeah, by the way, my number one contendership, I'm coming for your ass.
I'm coming for the title at WrestleMania.
So, Randy is pouring gasoline. He pours it all over the grave, he pours it all over the house, he walks outside, he pours a trail from the house, and Randy Orton then tells Bray, I'm coming for you, and he proceeds to light a match and light the house on fire. This is like some Taker Kane level crap right here. It's almost the direct tie into where Kane dug up the dead parents' bodies and set them on fire. It's very reminiscent of that.
Like when the Undertaker lit Stephanie's teddy bear on fire.
I mean, this was extremely well done. Meanwhile, while Randy is doing all of this, Bray is throwing a fit. He is screaming. At one point, he screams, Randy, I'm going to kill you. And the mics pick it up.
And then Bray Wyatt starts to cry.
And then the house catches fire and Bray Wyatt cries. Number one, props to Bray Wyatt for crying on command or crying on cue. Because that's a really hard skill to have. The fact that he pulled it off and it was believable. Well done to him. Like, he did a just incredible job of selling this and making just, like, every emotion believable. It's like there's one point where he's just curled up in a ball crying, and you're like, your heart just wrenches for Bray. Which is really not supposed to, because he's supposed to be this horrible, awful person, right? He's a cult leader. He's killed people. He's maimed people, right? You're supposed to hate his guts, but in this moment where he's losing his home, he's losing his mentor for a second time, you feel for the guy because he's just sitting there crying because there's nothing he can do. There's nothing. Randy's, you know, hundreds, thousands of miles away at the compound. Bray's in freaking Michigan. Even if he got on a plane right that second, it would be too late. He's already too late, and he just has to sit there and watch his home burn. Can you imagine? Can you freaking imagine that? That's terrible. It was an awesome visual, but just the whole thing is so terrible for Bray Wyatt. You sympathize with him. But, I mean, just in terms of what this was so fantastic because it was like, they could have just done the Randy Orton turn because we all knew Randy Orton was going to turn. We knew that going in. When Randy's like, oh yeah, if you can't beat him, join him. It's like, okay, when is Randy going to turn? Are we going to do this for a couple weeks or are we going to do this for a couple months? Which is it? And it ended up being a couple months. Randy splits the family. Luke goes off on his own. Randy gets Bray all to himself. Bray gets his hands on the title and Randy's like, Randy gets the number one contendership. So it's like, all right, let's do this.
We took 4 months to get to this point.
It took 4 months to get to this point. 4 months of dealing with Randy Orton in the family. Oh, God. And I told you all! I told you all! He was not part of the family!
Okay. Okay, before we go on, alright? We gotta finish wrapping up this part of it. So as Bray is crying, Bray is freaking out, throwing things around at ringside, they keep cutting back to it. As the fire burns, Randy does what Randy does.
He shows his...
He does the Orton pose.
In front of the fire.
Which is a great visual.
It's become a meme. It's a meme. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Okay. Now let's talk about this turn. I wrote about this at WildTalkRadio.com. I'm going to talk about it here. I didn't even write about this part. But, I've mentioned it on Twitter. But I did write about this whole turn, and it's at WildTalkRadio.com. Humanizing a cult leader.
Go read it.
The turn was... You could have done one or two things. One, you could have did the predictable, the RKO out of nowhere. But, if you did the RKO out of nowhere, would people be talking?
No.
Would it have generated a reaction?
It would have garnered a reaction, but it would have been the, oh, okay.
Saw that.
Alright, here we go, WrestleMania.
Saw that coming.
Yeah, saw that coming.
And in 12 hours, no one would be talking about it. People are talking about this.
People are still talking about this. We're sitting here talking about it now. It spawned all kinds of theories. It's done any number of things. And what's really interesting to me about this is I hear a lot of people say, oh, I want to go back to the Attitude Era. I want them to do what they used to do in the Attitude Era. Okay. This was Attitude Era. That's what this was. It had references back to it. You had Randy Orton commit no less than 2 felonies on national television.
The Attitude Era was about pushing the limits.
And this pushed the limit.
And this was pushing the limit. But, as I mentioned... It humanized the cult leader because you destroyed the most sacred thing to him.
Yeah, everybody has a weakness. Abigail was Bray's weakness. But nobody up until this point, and the closest was New Day, got to Abigail. Because nobody could. It's like Bray Wyatt was this anomaly, he was this secret, where he was so cryptic, nobody could really figure him out, right? Along comes Randy Orton. He infiltrates the family. He gets close to Bray. He learns some of Bray's secrets, including about Abigail, and Bray probably shows him where Abigail is and tells Randy what happened to her. And Randy then uses, you know, is basically like, bingo, there's the weakness right there, and uses that against Bray.
He sat under the learning tree and learned. And when you do that, you know the person's weakness. He was invited into the house. He was given the physical keys to the kingdom. And once you give a snake that, the venomous snake that he is...
He's gonna bite.
He's gonna bite. And he bit him hard.
And like I said, this is gonna be a really... next week is a really crucial week. Because you really don't know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in this, right? Technically, Bray Wyatt should be the bad guy. Because that's who he is. He's a heel. Except, like I said, you're sitting there watching him balled up on the floor, crying as his home burns. And you feel sympathy for him. Because it's like, how terrible, how awful. Even though he is a horrible person, you feel for him. Because it humanizes him. It makes us real. It's like none of us can imagine having to sit there and watch your house burn. Let alone be burned by someone that you trusted. That is a terrible thing to have to think about. Meanwhile, Randy Orton, who should really be the good guy, is the one that turns on Bray Wyatt and burns the house. And deceives Bray Wyatt.
I asked a question. What did Bray Wyatt ever do to Randy?
Aside from beat him up a couple times? Nothing.
So, in reality, Bray should be good to Randy's evil. Just for that. But it will play out differently. Which is fine.
It'll play out differently, but again, it's a crucial week. Because now you have Bray Wyatt respond to Randy Orton, to what he's done. Bray Wyatt has had a chance to go home. He's had a chance, you know, and this is all in storyline. He's had a chance to go home. He's had a chance to see the damage himself. WWE has been selling this as Randy burned the compound. In reality, he only burned one building, but figuratively, he burned the compound. But More specifically, he burned Abigail.
He burned the most important part.
So now Bray has to go back and see it. And the question is, how does Bray Wyatt respond? How does he rebuild? Knowing Bray Wyatt, he's vengeful, and he will swear vengeance. He will swear blood. He will want Randy Orton's head on a spike. And I hope he does all that. It's like, what is having to witness that going to do to Bray Wyatt? How does that change the character? Because they really opened a door with this that's really kind of been previously closed. They tried it a little bit with Roman, but they got killed because everybody kind of got up in arms about it. But now it's, okay, Randy Orton has gone to Bray Wyatt's home. He was invited. He burns the place to the ground. How does Bray Wyatt respond to that? Does Bray Wyatt, you know, cut a promo? Or does he go to Randy's house? Does he terrorize Randy's parents? Or possibly someone playing Randy Orton's wife? Or his actual wife, depending on if she's game or not? How, you know, or does Bray Wyatt do nothing?
The standard WWE affair would be Bray Wyatt cuts a promo. But in this game of chess, this game is eye for eye. You destroy Sister Abigail, I would have Bray Wyatt kneeling in front of, or behind, rather, the cold, unconscious body of Bob Orton. That's me. That's how I book it.
Yeah, I'd have him cut the promo, but I'd either have him cut it.
Cut it, and then he falls to his knees, and below him
is Bob Orton. Like, Bob, he's Orton. In a house. It's dark. It looks like it's kind of been torn up a little bit. You don't really know where he is. And then you just sort of, he's either already on his knees, or yeah, he drops to his knees, and there's Bob Orton.
And that's how you make Bray Wyatt the villain.
Or, you do this. And I kind of pitched this, but I just thought of a way to make it better. So you have Bray Wyatt in the shell of the house, what's left of it, whatever's left. Because they probably didn't burn it to the ground. I'm sure they put it out right after Randy started the fire. But in reality, you'll have this burned out shell of a house, whatever's left of it. Bray Wyatt's on his knees, or he's in the house, he's swearing vengeance, right? He's promising vengeance, he's promising it's going to be an eye for an eye, it's going to be the most horrific thing Randy Orton's ever experienced. And then it's either you do the pan back, or you have the Bray Wyatt drop to his knees, and laying where Abigail was is Bob Orton. You just really want to go over the top and sell it.
You could do that as well.
With Bray saying he's going to put Randy right next to her when he's done, or something to that effect. Basically, the implication is murder.
Is that pushing the PG limits for you now, Matt? Is that pushing the PG limits for everyone?
Well, here's the thing. You have to push it, because this went from zero to holy crap, this got dark really fast in like 10 minutes. I mean, this just went from Randy's out the compound and him kind of messing the place up to committing a felony. That's how dark this got. I mean, we had an implication of murder. We had desecration of a corpse. We had arson. We had crying. We had, I mean, just everything. The way that they did this was, it was like, it was so dark that if you're going to take it there, you might as well go all the way, or at least as far as you can in a PG environment, where you push it, and you push that line really hard. Because I think the difference between Randy and Bray and Randy and Roman, when they kind of tried to do something like this, is Randy's willing to do it. Randy's willing to go all the way on it. You can tell. It's like, whatever you need to do, I'm game. Let's do it. Because Randy's having fun. He's enjoying himself. So it's like, yeah, let's do it, you know? Let's send me out there and set a house on fire. Why not?
By the way, one piece of news. Eric Rowan has been cleared medically.
Yes. The wild card. The wild card in all of this is Eric Rowan. He's cleared. Just in time for WrestleMania.
We're not going to dive deep into that tonight.
No, we're not. But it's like, he plays... It's a very curious factor about Eric Rowan of where he's going to fit into all this. And we're going to have to see where he fits into all of this. But yeah, this... And this closed SmackDown, the last visual you see Tuesday is Bray Wyatt leaning up... Or actually, no, it's Randy Orton doing the pose in front of the flaming building. And Bray Wyatt in front of the announce table rocking back and forth as he just cries. I mean, that was an extremely powerful visual. I am super stoked for SmackDown. I cannot wait for SmackDown. I want to see it. Because I want to see Bray Wyatt's response to all of this.
No, I got to mention one thing. I mentioned this on Twitter, and it's need to go on over the 140 characters. The question was asked, or proposed, sort of, why they did this now and not a couple weeks from now. It is very, very simple. You have to build towards WrestleMania. You have 4 more SmackDowns to build to WrestleMania. You have to get the entire card built. The entire card for WrestleMania, 70% of it, 60% of it, will be booked by, we will know it next week on TV by the end of SmackDown. We'll know what we're getting. Which includes Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. You had to continue AJ Styles' story. You had to progress it so he has something to do because we all knew it's Randy and Bray. So you can't do, oh, it's going to be Shane versus AJ 2 weeks out, you make the match. You had to start the, you can make the match in 2 weeks, but you have to build the heat. You have to give it a reason. So Shane's throwing AJ out of the upcoming title match so he doesn't get the shot is the reason why it goes down. You had to start that fire while you started the other one.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't mean to tie the fire to fire, but that's sort of
yes,
how...
Yes, you did. No, it was intentional.
No, it really wasn't intentional.
But no, you had to do the betrayal. You really couldn't push it a week with the way that they booked it out.
And the best part of SmackDown, except for Apollo Crews and...
Oh, stop it!
And Dolph Ziggler, everything else was geared to WrestleMania. Including the one segment we didn't talk about, that was Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. They built to WrestleMania.
Everything, they exchanged insults.
They did. But everything is building towards Mania, except for that one match. That was made it a great show. That's all I wanted to say. I wasn't trying to badmouth the match. I was just making a point. Everything else was directed towards Mania.
I know, but still. But I do want to answer one thing, because you asked on Twitter, should the police be called on Randy?
Did I ask that on Twitter? Oh, yeah, I did.
You did. And I saved my response for the show. I'm going to say no. Because, again, Bray Wyatt is a horrible person. He has done horrible things in that compound, in the name of himself and in the name of Abigail. I can almost promise you, Abigail is not the only body that is on that property. Just from a storyline standpoint, there's still the reporter that never came back 3 years ago to go out there to interview Bray Wyatt in the first place when he debuted. That dude or that chick never came back.
Just saying.
So that's at least one that we know of. God only knows what else is out there. So yeah, Bray Wyatt is not going to invite the cops onto his property to check this out, knowing what he's got there. He's just going to take care of this himself. Or he's going to have Eric help him. Whichever comes first. Whichever is easiest, honestly. But yeah, this was exactly what this feud needed to kick it into high gear. I loved how Bray, you could tell Bray had his hands all over this in terms of the booking, because there were the Undertaker and Kane references, there were horror references, there was just, you can tell he was heavily involved in this, and how this got written, how this got booked, and how just it all went down.
So that's the SmackDown Throwdown.
I can't wait for next week, I'm so excited! But I think that does it for the rack.
Now, if you thought we went long this week, next week is going to be even longer. Question was just asked on where does Luke fit on it into this. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, we're going to get more into that next week.
But next week we have an extremely long show planned. Because next week on the show, we're talking NXT. We're talking all the news. We're talking SmackDown Throwdown and the latest developments in this whole saga. We're going to be recapping WWE Fastlane. But there's more.
But wait, there's more, because we have a special guest.
And who is the special guest?
We are going to be joined by the one, the only, the extraordinary creator of Headlocked, Michael Kingston, as he's going to come on and talk to us about the brand new comic that he's starting the Kickstarter for, and how you can get it.
Just for reference, Ric Flair's involved in this. Kenny Omega's involved in this.
Cody Rhodes
is involved in this. Jerry Lawler's involved in this. Just to name a few. He's going to talk all about it next week on the show. So
yeah,
we have a lot next week. So next week's show, going to be even longer.
We've had him on before. If you're not familiar with him, go listen to our previous interview with him at RackRadioShow.com. He is awesome. This is a project that he has started himself, that he's putting out himself. hence the Kickstarters, and we're going to get answers to this. This is actually the second installment of Headlocked. Second? Third?
There's been a few. A couple.
There's been a few. This is, I think, the final installment for right now. So,
We'll talk to them all about it.
Yeah.
You can get all the Kickstarter information, because the first day has a lot of perks. Available now on our Twitters, Rack Radio Show and Wild Talk Radio. All the information is there. You can get the link to the Kickstarters and support his project. That's out of the way. Saturday Night Midnight is another edition of Seabeer, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Have Say What? We'll have the great debate with Batman, Superman, greatest character of all of them. Saturday Night Midnight-ish. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Seabeer Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night is Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega. Reviewing WWE Fastlane. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Recapping everything that goes down on the fallout from Fastlane. Tuesday night, 11:30 at twitch.tv/rockradioshow. It's WTR Sims. We know the main event for WTR Mania, but the other matches to be determined.
What is the main event for WTR Mania?
Tim Stein defends against Sorokin for the WTR Championship.
Wait, Brent lost it?
Brent lost the CB Radio title.
Brent!
Tim has two titles.
Oh my goodness. What did I miss?
It's all on demand at youtube.com/rockradioshow. We have more surprises coming. Stay tuned to the Twitters. At Wild Talk Radio. At WTR Sunday Night. At Rock Radio Show. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for everything we just mentioned. Michael Kingston will be here live-ish on the show. Anyway, your turn.
I like that. Live-ish.
You'll hear it live.
You'll hear it live. He won't be on live, but you will hear it live.
You'll hear it live. I'm rambling.
Make him stay up that late. Yeah. He's a busy man.
He's a very busy man. Check him out. He's at some Comic-Con this weekend. Check him out.
He's at Emerald City Comic-Con this weekend, so if you're going, go check him out and tell him the Rack said hi.
There you go.
Ding! So, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, L-A-S-W-R-D, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Are you done with your plugs?
Thanks to Gerwick.net, wrestling figure photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah,
did you plug your Twitter?
Yeah, I did. At Wild Talk Radio, yeah.
Okay, I'm making... I didn't... You did them... We did it differently, so it's just like the autopilot thing. Anyway, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.